This is the Android Buffet Podcast, episode number 243, recorded Monday, March 23rd, 2015, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Android Buffet Podcast.
Exciting, exciting, exciting.
Yes. Do you know what I got to do this weekend?
I have no idea what you did this weekend. Did you invent a new type of pasta?
No, but I saw that on television.
There's a new type of pasta someone invented?
No, I was watching reruns of Restaurant Startup and they had pasta. But no, I got to have a breakfast with Murph. Well, actually, I did the eating. Murph just did the sitting.
Oh. So you didn't sit?
No, I'm saying Murph did not eat breakfast. Murph joined me for breakfast.
Ah. Okay, I think I got it now.
Is it that complicated?
Well, there you
was,
know me.
There was me. There was Murph. There was food. Murph didn't eat the food. But Murph was in Cambridge in order to attend Libra Planet.
What?
Libra
planet. Is this Libra planet?
Well, let's put
Does this have something to do with Libra?
Well, yes, it was
being
sponsored.
Libre?
It was sponsored by the FSF. The keynote speaker was some guy named Richard Stallman.
Oh, really? I'm sorry.
Oh, I didn't attend.
Okay.
Oh, I had to leave early because I needed to catch a plane, which ultimately I didn't catch, which caused me to catch a bus, which I did catch, which is the reason why I'm sort of a little tired.
But you do seem tired.
It was still 2 days
ago,
and I'm still tired.
It sounded like you were counting down, like, you know, hypnosis. Very sleepy.
Oh, well, that I can do, Jerry. I want you to imagine a blackboard in your mind, and somebody comes along and draws an A on it, and then erases it. Oh, you don't want me to put our listeners into a light hypnotic trance?
I just had to mute myself so I could yawn. Seriously.
Yeah. No, I can put people to sleep. With the power of my voice.
How about we not? Okay. Anyway, exciting, 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 right?
Yes.
That was the plan?
Yeah.
That's what you said. That's what you advertised. That's what I'm expecting.
Yeah. You don't think meeting Murph
is
exciting?
It should be a whole lot of exciting. It should be exciting. Okay, so you went to Boston over the weekend. Did you do anything interesting there? You saw Murph for breakfast. You had breakfast with Murph. What else did you do? Anything exciting? Did you meet anybody important? Did you see anybody important?
Important. Well, there was some woman there from the Boston Globe.
That doesn't count. Reporters don't count.
Well,
people from mainstream media do not count.
Well, I assume that they thought we were important if they showed up at where I was.
They're mainstream media. They don't count. Anybody else?
Well, I was briefly in a panel with Murph that was... you know, where the guy who was giving the talk was the lead developer on Media Goblin.
I don't know what that is.
Do you remember when I met you at Self?
Yes.
I heard about it there, but I never actually used it. It's a service that you can install on your own server for media.
Okay.
You can look it up.
Okay. Anybody else?
He was very excited.
Anything else? What'd you do?
Well, you know...
Or is this Squirrel? Should we take it to the end of the show?
We have a very short show today. There was not much to talk
about.
We do
have a short show. No. But maybe we should get it out of the way. And then if people who don't want Android news can go away, and people who want non-Android news can hang around.
Okay, because I have some interesting stories.
Well, you do have some interesting stories.
Okay. You didn't hear the full story, though. Let's see. Oh, yes.
I did, but I will later.
You can now use Google's voice commands to send Hangout messages. So you can tell your phone... send a message to Jerry Jones, via chat. Hi, Jerry Jones. How's it going? And I assume my phone would send that if my phone wasn't in the other room.
And it'll work.
Yes.
That's what you're saying. That's what you're implying.
Yes. If my phone wasn't in the other room.
Oh. Well, we don't know how well it listens.
Well, that was my, you know, dramatic, and that was my dramatic reenactment of what it might be like. So that's exciting. Voice command continues. Google is bringing the Android device manager and its support to Android Wear, so your watch can find your phone.
But only Android Wear, not like Pebbles.
No, but I'm thinking of going and having my Android Wear for a while. I like to switch between the two and see.
I thought you didn't like your Android Wear.
I don't, but I like to switch between the two and see if I might like one thing more than the other. I actually do very much like the Pebble, but it keeps disconnecting.
Oh, well, that's not very nice.
The Bluetooth reliability lately has been odd, but it might be on the phone side. I got this upgrade to Android 5.1.
Yes.
And? Well, I've been having trouble ever since I got to 5. I said that if 5.1 didn't seem to make things better, that I'd do a complete wipe.
Yes. So
I'm going to be doing that when I have some time, just to see if it makes things a little better. Might just be the cruft. You know how I feel about cruft.
Yes.
Okay. The Google Services SDK version 7 is now available, which includes the Places and the Nearby Connections API.
Now, granted, now note that this is not the same thing as the SDK needed to develop all Android software. This is just if you're using their Google Services,
yes,
maps or storage, stuff like that.
Places. Yep. And Google will now be manually approving submitted apps.
See, okay. If you go back to the original blog post that Google made about this, apparently they have been manually reviewing apps for months now.
Yeah, but they didn't mention it until more recently.
And this is part of, but this mention was part of the larger blog post mentioning that apps are now going to have age ratings.
How do you feel about that?
Right. Awesome. Excellent. I like more information.
You think it's better than less information?
I do. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, what?
I just got dinged in like 47 different places.
Who would do such a rude thing?
I don't know. In the middle of a show, even.
Yeah. How rude. Moving along. Google Docs has received an update with a focus on reviewing documents before you edit them.
This is one of the stories that put me to sleep, so.
Okay. Facebook is testing a dialer and caller ID app for Android called Phone. Isn't that exciting?
It's funny.
Google has released an Android Auto app.
I want to go back to this Facebook thing for a second.
Okay. Tell me, what is your comment?
Imagine if somebody calls you and the Facebook phone thing is what you're using for your dialer.
Yeah.
And it matches the phone or the phone number to a Facebook person. And it says, this person's birth, this is Bob calling you. Their birthday is next week, and they have three kids named George, Sally, and John. I think that would be cool.
Yeah, but is that what they're trying to do?
I don't know, but it could happen.
So you want Facebook to be your brain?
I don't. I need something to be my brain. I wanted Google to be my brain with the Google glasses, where I could walk around and it would, you know, put a square around somebody's face and it would facial recognize it and then put important information beside their head so I could have something to talk about when I'm talking to them and not have to actually remember things, which I'm not going to remember anyway.
So if I understand correctly, you want to be a cyborg.
If being a cyborg means a heads-up display, yeah.
That tells you what to think and what to say.
No, that provides me with contextual information that is useful at the moment that I need it.
Resistance is futile, Jerry.
I'm not saying that I want to replace my left leg with a bionic version of itself.
No.
I'm just saying a heads-up display with contextual information about the environment around me would be a good thing.
You just want to be the telepresence robot for a artificial intelligence network. Never mind. That'd make a really good story, though, wouldn't it?
I see where you're going with that. That's interesting.
No, I'm saying, wouldn't that make a really good story?
It would make an interesting story.
Well, really good would depend on whether on who wrote it, I suppose. Where an artificial intelligence...
I guess so would interesting.
Well, I'm just saying, how about this? Wouldn't that be an interesting premise for a story? An artificial intelligence network uses humans as its telepresence robots.
Sure. Wait a minute. Isn't that what happened in Daemon?
I don't know. Daemon? I never got around to
reading Freedom TM?
I never got around to reading that.
Oh my god, dude, really? You need to set some time aside and read it. It is awesome.
I've been reading nonfiction lately. I got through a great book on Harry Truman's Excellent Adventure. No comment on that one. Okay.
Nope.
That was the title of the book. Harry Truman's Excellent Adventure.
Is it similar to Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure?
No, they traveled through time. He took a road trip.
Oh.
He was the last...
Bill and Ted had a more excellent adventure.
Yes, but since then, when would you hear of a president, or in this case, a former president, taking a road trip?
They kind of all did back before there were planes.
Let me rephrase that. By themselves, no Secret Service, mostly unannounced, as in doing something that normal Americans would do.
I don't understand the big deal, but okay.
Okay. Interesting book. Worth the $1.99. Anyway, moving along. Inbox is rolling out to Google Apps domains. So if you have a Google Apps account as opposed to a Gmail account, you may be able to try Inbox if you haven't already.
Have you tried Inbox yet?
No, because it won't work for my Google Apps account. But now that it might, I've applied to be considered for it.
Awesome. I hope you enjoy it.
I hope so, too. Streaming music has, in terms of revenue, has beat CDs in the United States last year for the first time.
Isn't that amazing?
That it took this long or that it did it at all?
Well, okay. When's the last time you bought a CD?
2 weeks ago. Why?
Really?
Yeah. I bought one in honor of the death of Leonard Nimoy. Well, honor may be the wrong word. I bought one because in commemoration of Leonard Nimoy. I have my copy here of Spaced Out, the very best of Leonard Nimoy, with such classic Leonard Nimoy songs as Where Is Love, If I Had a Hammer, Music to Watch Space Girls By, Abraham, Martin, and John, If I Was a Carpenter. You haven't lived until you've heard Leonard Nimoy's rendition of I Walk the Line.
Okay.
I'm being sarcastic, but it's worth hearing. Or his ballad of Bilbo Baggins.
Well, one would think that the music industry doesn't make a whole lot of money from CD sales. I mean, I bet the margins are astronomical, but I can't imagine that CDs are still a high-selling item. And yet, physical sales of CDs accounted for 32% of the music industry's revenue.
But what does that say? Does that say that they are not making enough money off of streaming?
Well, streaming is 27%. Digital downloads are 37%. I think the music industry has gone digital with two-thirds of their income or two-thirds of their revenue coming from digital stuff. And for what it's worth, ringtones and ringbacks are 1%.
Well, bear in mind for me, I do everything digitally. I often buy the CD version because that remains my archival copy.
Right.
I throw out the jewel case, I rip the CD, and I put it into a binder and pretty much forget about it until sometime in the future when I need it, which several times I've re-ripped at a higher quality than I originally put through. Maybe someday I'll flack, but not yet.
Okay, we talked about percentages, right?
Yeah.
Have you looked at the absolute numbers? Guess how much money people spent on ringtones and ringbacks. And I don't know what a ringback is. I know what a ringtone is.
I hate ringbacks.
What are ringbacks? That's when you call somebody and what you hear their phone, instead of hearing their phone ring, you hear music?
Yeah.
Okay, that's ridiculous. But guess how much ringtones and ringbacks brought in last year? $66 million.
Do you ever look at some of these numbers and say, gee, I'm in the wrong business?
I know.
I should be selling junk.
Permanent download? $2.5 billion. That's a B. Big B. 2.5.
So, Jerry,
streaming.
I have a solution for you.
$1.8 billion.
I have a solution for you.
Yes?
We'll record some of my classic harmonica stylings, sell them as ringtones. and make a bundle.
No, 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 no. What this shows me is that money is not in the production or the consumption. The money is in the distribution.
Yeah, but we need something to distribute.
Why? So we'll lots of people. There are lots of creators.
But we'd have to pay them. If I'm the creator, then we don't have to pay them. Cut out the middleman.
Wow. Sound exchange. Royalties? Is that the right word? Sound exchange royalties went up 31% over the last year.
You feel very passionately about this.
Well, kind of, because, I mean, one of the things that I do at my job is sound exchange reports. So sound exchange knows how much to charge the various radio stations.
Yes, you mentioned you were in that sort of a business.
Wow. Wow. Okay, here's the good numbers.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Here. Okay, here. This. Here we go. Finally found the numbers. Okay, CDs.
Yeah.
Okay. In 2013, $2.1 billion. In 2014, $1.8 billion. So a 12% drop in revenue. Okay. Almost 13% drop in revenue. But here's the kicker. The number of CDs that they shipped or sold dropped by 16%. So CD prices are going up. And interestingly, CD singles, you know, where it's just a single song on the CD.
Yeah.
They actually went up by 50%. So did LPs and EPs, and vinyls went up 100% from 3 million to 6 million. DVD audio.
Who does DVD audio?
I don't know, but these numbers don't make sense. These numbers can't be right.
So tell you what I'm going to do.
Wow. And SACD. Ooh, whoa. Super audio CDs.
I'm going to buy some CDs just for you.
Wow.
The holidays are coming up, and I will buy some holiday music.
Don't do it for me.
Well, you know,
I just find these numbers interesting, especially since in the light of all the press that music piracy gets, right? And if you look at the charts of revenue from year to year, the numbers are just up and to the right. I mean, they're making more and more revenue every single year. So I don't think it just makes me wonder. Privacy's putting us out of business, man. But anyway, ridiculousness. But the numbers are interesting.
But as I said, just for you, I will go and buy some holiday CDs. I see one here. Reggae Passover. Sounds perfect. Anyway, I'll do that after the show. So Monopoly is celebrating 80 years. And this is not 80 years since Monopoly was invented. Apparently, they are measuring 80 years of Monopoly from specifically when Parker Brothers acquired the rights to it.
Yep. When they bought it for $13 and a bunch of beads.
They didn't buy it for $13 and a bunch of beads.
No, but apparently they bought it from the wrong people. And they had to... Anyway, if you're ever interested in a really convoluted rights story...
Yeah.
The story of Monopoly is a really twisted story.
Well, you're talking about the fact that there were several similar games, and a lot of people made local copies of that game. And the reason why the Monopoly version that we know of became popular is because it made several changes to the rules. So this is Charles Darrow, who for years, it was claimed, solely created the game.
Right, but no, it was created by a woman.
Well, see, it depends on right? It depends on your perspective. See, Darrow was the one who had seen people playing a homemade board game where the object was to buy and sell. He published his own version of the game. So now his version was the one that became popular. But basically, since you have to go back to the other people who had invented similar games on which he based it, namely you have Elizabeth Phillips, who created the game around the turn of the 20th century, and that would be the Landlord's Game.
Yes, that was the original Monopoly, and it was supposed to be... I mean, apparently back then, one of the ways in which values were taught was via gameplay, and Landlords was designed to teach the evils of capitalism and greed.
But you see what the difference is. Her version was not fun. So Charles,
right. Well, there's that.
Yeah, so basically, the variations in the version are what made the current idea more popular. So basically, it was the changes that were made over the years.
Yes. And the rules are still in flux.
Yeah.
I mean, the rules change regularly. And even when you buy the game, you still... Monopoly is an incredibly flexible game. I mean, most people have house rules that are not actually official rules. So, yeah. I mean, Monopoly, it's a game. It's been... Parker Brothers has, in theory, owned the rights for the last 80 years, as of 5 days ago.
Yeah. But I think the modern version is the most interesting.
Well, of course you do. You're a modern person.
Yeah, but I don't like some of the...
The modern version is made for the modern man.
But the official rules were pretty much unchanged until 2008. Now, if you remember a few years ago, they actually had a contest to vote on possible changes to the rules. Anyway, there are still variants. But
yes.
if you don't like Monopoly, you don't like Monopoly. You're not required to.
What? You're not required?
Excuse me.
Bless you.
Maybe that's the problem. Maybe I got sick on my trip. Excuse me.
Maybe. Maybe we should call tonight and you should...
I thought you wanted to hear about my trip.
I do, but I want you to get some rest too.
Okay, well, I will tell you a shortened version.
Okay.
So I built a... you know how whenever I go somewhere, I build a contraption to allow me to record the show?
Yes.
So this time I built a contraption to allow me to stream video of the event. Unfortunately, I did make a mistake. I needed a more powerful microphone because you couldn't hear people in the back. So I'm prepared. Before I left there, I ordered this omnidirectional boundary microphone. So I'm prepared for the next event, which I don't know when it will be or where it will be. But I'm prepared to show up with my boundary microphone. So things will continue to evolve. Also, as I was telling you, met some guy named Tim.
Tim.
Yeah.
Do I know Tim?
Well, you see...
Tim who?
Well, they decided to order some Mexican food.
Mexican food.
Yes, from a Chipotle.
Okay.
And I've never patronized a Chipotle, and I couldn't find anything I particularly wanted that they brought. So I took a tortilla and some cheese and went in search of a microwave. You know how hard it is to find a microwave on the MIT campus?
No.
Well, I came back. There was this guy named Tim there that people were talking to, having a interesting discussion. And, you know, I ran into him around the Chipotle table while I was trying to assemble my quesadilla.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as he was leaving, I found out who he was.
Who was he?
It was Tim. We covered that.
Tim who?
Well, apparently Tim Berners-Lee.
What? Wait, who's Tim Berners-Lee?
Well, Sir Tim Berners-Lee.
Sir Tim... he's royalty. No, sir means knight.
Yes.
He's a knight.
Yes.
Is he a spiffy knight?
I don't know. What makes a spiffy knight?
I don't know.
But he invented the World Wide Web.
He invented the World Wide Web.
Well, some people falsely say he invented the internet. He didn't. He invented the World Wide Web.
I would say that only uneducated people say that he invented the internet.
Well, many people think the internet is the World Wide Web.
Well, many people would be not right.
That would be correct. Many people are not right. But it was interesting. I can now say that I've met a famous internet luminary.
Ooh, sounds spiffy.
Wish I'd said more than excuse me. What do you say when you meet famous people?
Excuse me, sounds good.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind. I always feel like I should say more to famous people. Like I should ask them about their accomplishments.
Mm-hmm.
But I figure people do that all the time. How do you not annoy a famous person by asking them questions they've probably been asked a million times?
I know, right?
Such as, did you think that the internet would be mostly used for cat pictures? I think somebody asked them that.
Well, one can never...
Have too many cat pictures?
No, one can never really... foresee how one's invention will actually end up being used.
Oh, by the way, before I forget, speaking of cat pictures, apparently today is the 10th annual day of awareness to promote puppy adoption. It's National Puppy Day.
Cool.
I know you like dogs.
I have one.
Yes. So happy National Puppy Day, Jared.
Yay!
Okay. A few bits of programming note that I have to advise you, Jerry. Next week, the 30th, I will be attending another one of those quarterly events. You know, the mm-hmm. ones where I may be slightly detained in returning. I have the thing here. I will once again be going to Manhattan for a dinner and music. Doesn't that sound exciting?
Woo!
Well, you know, I want to get more. And then the following week, which is the 6th of April. Let me just check my calendar here. I think I'm right about this. I will be recording remotely, but I will be available. So that would be during the holiday of Passover, which, as you know, I celebrate.
Yes.
But that is the day after Easter Sunday. I'm not sure. Do you have any Easter Sunday-ish plans?
Not really.
Okay. So you'll be available. So I don't know. Yes. As of now, I do not, because I don't believe there's a conflict, aside from the fact there will be a holiday going on, I believe there should be no problem with me bringing my equipment with me to the holiday celebration area at the Winnica Summer Palace. So I will probably be recording from there.
Okie dokie.
Which means, excitingly enough, maybe I should I can try out the Raspberry Pi 2 as a streamer.
Well, okay, the 2. All right.
Well, you know, I built a 2, you know, to try it out. I have 2 2s now. Because the 2s are much better than the 1s. So one of the 2s is running that ADS-B receiver, the one that's picking up the plane transponders.
Yes.
Yes, and I'm looking forward to picking up more plane transponders because I ordered an extra long antenna from Bulgaria. It should be here this week. I got a good deal.
Sweet.
Assuming it gets through customs. And the other one was I wanted to try the streaming on because I've been having trouble with the BeagleBones. See, in order to...
Really?
Well, you see, they no longer put Angstrom Linux on the BeagleBone. They put on a Debian fork of Linux. So I wanted to upgrade my BeagleBones to the latest BeagleBone OS. Now, I've been having trouble booting the BeagleBones off of a microSD card so that I could flash the internal 2 gigabytes of memory. The newer BeagleBones actually have 4 gigabytes of memory on board in order to accommodate a new operating system. So basically, I'm having trouble flashing my BeagleBones. So as of now, they are out of commission until I can do a proper upgrade. And I've been a bit busy. Well, I accomplished something. Since I went to the event, we had a hack day. You've heard of those? Where you sit around and write something. So I was working on reverse geolocation, which is surprisingly hard.
Okay.
I say that because I was attempting to use the OpenStreetMap group in order to get my data. Mm-hmm. And the data that they return is notoriously inconsistent. For example, Jerry?
Yes?
Let me think of a good example. So here is one of the ones I was testing, which was the Residence Inn in Cambridge, Massachusetts, which is where I was staying. So it actually has a field for hotel. It uses hotel, house number, road, neighborhood, city, county, state, postal code, and country. Now, other things, sometimes if there's village, there's borough, basically, depending on where you are, you may have different fields that describe where you are. But I could not find a complete list of these possible fields. So it makes it very hard to take their input and output it in some consistent manner if I don't know all of the possible outputs that they could give me.
I can understand how that would be a problem.
Yep. So as I came back from Boston, I was periodically taking GPS readings and doing reverse lookups on them to see the different responses.
Mm-hmm.
I have a list here. Let's see. So here are some interesting places that I geolocated. I took a geolocation reading at Penn Station in New York City, and it told me I was in Secaucus. Still confused about that one. Then at some point, apparently, I was at 361 Haven Avenue in Washington Heights. Not bad, I suppose, if you want to. I was at 2125 Cross Bronx Service Road North, St. Andrews Village, New York. That's a lot of data. And again, at one point, I was at Wilbur Cross Highway in Sturbridge, Massachusetts. So every time, I kept getting different data that was marked up in different ways, which was really driving me crazy, making it very hard to do reverse geolocation. If anybody has any advice. So do you have any final thoughts, Jerry? I will take your advice and adjourn early.
Sure. I have a final thought.
Yes?
If you're doing authentication by hashing something with a secret key, and you hash it by prefixing that thing that you're hashing with a secret key.
Okay.
Don't do that. Because it is trivial to add something to the end of that thing that's being hashed because you can use the hash that you're given as a starting point and then just add more stuff to it and come up with a valid hash. So don't do secret prefix SHA-1 hashing. Just don't do it. MD4 either. It's
What prompted the statement?
It's the truth.
Still.
Oh, because I'm
working on that right now.
I'm working on, you know, improving my security awareness. Okay. And that includes an education on things cryptographic.
Okay. I was just asking what prompted it, so now I understand.
So, let's call it a night.
How about we do this again next week? Possibly a little late.
Okay. Possibly even later. Not a problem.
Well, you know, last time I think I got back by about 1:30. I think the time before it was a 1:45.
Sure, no worries.
You will be posted and advised regularly. To our live listeners, I apologize, but, you know, every so often I have to leave the house, see new things, meet new people, participate in events, develop a life. I've been working on that one for a while now.
Good.
Yes. I don't know if hanging around with a bunch of people who speak a language that I'm not fluent in is necessarily the best way to develop a life, but we'll see.
It's a good way to push your boundaries.
Well, it's fun. I'm trying to start a new club in New York. We'll see if that goes out. I'll tell you more about that if it ever happens. Shall we adjourn, Jerry?
Let's adjourn.
Yes, and feel free to send me some GPS coordinates for me to test. I could try to navigate around Jacksonville.
Okay.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye. Bye, folks.